To the Multimedia Men podcast number 30.
Yeah.
30. I'm sure. 30.
Like our lives will go
3.0.
down.
3.0.
It never gets any better than
that. I'm the same age as our podcast today.
Doesn't mean
that's a
which
lie.
We have to go to version 2.0 now? Yeah. We got to reboot this thing already?
The
what?
It's already ready for a reboot?
Yeah.
We're so old now.
We're rebooting now.
Yeah.
It's been
we got younger
weeks.
Versions of
yeah.
ourselves.
Feels a lot better now. Yeah.
I can't believe...
Somebody has to stick around to guide these youngins.
I can't believe we've been together for 30 weeks. It's been a long
time. You constantly say that every single week.
Yeah.
We realize that we're all so friends. I'm
bewildered by this shit.
One thing we're all going to wake up and be like, Brian really doesn't like us.
No, I'm excited. I think it's really cool that we all show up every week to do this, you know?
We enjoy each other.
Yeah.
I bring donuts.
Yeah.
I don't know why you guys wouldn't come.
Every week. It's
except for I brought cinnamon rolls last week.
It is good.
Incredible week that was.
I'll bring the cinnamon rolls again.
Remember.
I think we have chemistry, and I just can't believe that it's lasted this long. Because I've known people that have done podcasts, and it definitely doesn't last this long.
We were not the first.
I wish we were.
Well, we also have somebody that, you know. We have people that like to do it, and somebody that makes sure that the shit gets put up on the internet.
Who's that?
That would be Brian.
So, it's our 30th podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We have something special lined up, which you will get to learn a lot about us.
It's going to get dark.
We're doing it in the news later.
It's going to get dark. We're going to have it in the news. We're going to talk about Record Store Day. We're going to do Criterion. It's going to be fun.
What?
But as always.
This is a super snooty episode.
Like usual.
Highbrow. It's a highbrow comedy today.
Oh, wait, no, it's always lowbrow. There's never highbrow here.
Or in your case, unibrow?
Yes. Do I have a unibrow?
No.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh.
Hey, unibrows are in now.
Unibrows are in.
That's one of the only places you don't have.
And uniboobs.
So yeah, it is the only place I don't have hair.
I love unibrows.
No, wait. My hair is receding,
that's weird.
So.
It's not that noticeable.
So it totally is.
You are. That's brilliant.
So we're going to start out like...
Well, what are we talking about?
No. So like usual...
Different conversation entirely.
Well, as usual, we do a list, do a top three list. And we are going to do
what?
Top three Criterion Collection movies that are part of Criterion. So if you don't know what a Criterion Collection is, Criterion is basically like the Neiman Marcus of home video. They have the best special features and extras. They have the best image, the sound, and they try to do stuff that's culturally significant in time. I mean, they do occasionally put out a Michael Bay movie to make money so that they can...
Yeah, where's my Criterion Collection of Armageddon?
There is one of The Rock, too.
And one of The Rock.
The Rock is amazing.
Hey, you thought you was making it to The Rock.
What about Con Air?
That's not a Michael Bay movie, is it?
Doesn't matter. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
But something to do with it.
San Francisco. Fuck it.
But yeah, there's a... If you go through the Criterion catalog, they've released, I think, close to 600 movies. And they're normally more expensive than most DVDs and Blu-rays, but they're completely worth it.
Because a sucker is found every day.
The extras are amazing. So, I would highly suggest you go to their website, Criterion.com, and check out the cool stuff. They release stuff every month. But we're going to talk about our top three, and let's start with... Andrew, are you ready?
Sure.
Let's start with Andrew.
Good.
Well, unfortunately, I have not seen a vast majority of the Criterion Collection. So, my list is very limited.
Okay.
But the movies that I do own on the list, let's see. My runner-ups are a film called Tiny Furniture by Lena Dunham. It's one of the things that pretty much got her noticed.
Yeah.
And she's doing girls.
That's what Judd Apatow saw.
Judd Apatow saw, I think, in South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And she was got a deal with him, and now she's...
That was a more recent release, wasn't it?
Doing her thing.
Yeah, it was like in the last year or something.
Yeah, no, it was like, yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. And then another one, unappreciated film by, what's his name? I'm trying to...
Where are we? Hello? What's going on?
Do you know what your name is?
Unappreciated film by Terry Gilliam, Time Bandits.
Oh, yeah.
They actually did a Criterion version.
They did,
of that.
And that's not on Blu-ray. It's still on DVD.
It's still on a DVD, yeah. But hopefully they'll convert it, because it's a great little quirky film. It's definitely a fun adventure. Definitely pretty weird, too. But so that's my runner-up. And then in my top three, I have The Following, which is one of Christopher Nolan's first movies. It was shot in 16mm, and it was a black-and-white sort of noir, and is pretty. It's good. It shows pretty much has a lot of the stuff that he sort of uses now, in just in a bigger sense.
Yeah.
So it's a great watch. Then I have. You can't have a list. I think you can't have a list without having at least one Wes Anderson movie on it. And I think my favorite Criterion is Royal Tenenbaums, because it's packed full of behind the scenes stuff, and it's one of his greater movies, in my opinion. Gene Hackman is amazing.
Hack Gene.
Wasn't that also his last movie?
No, it was one of his last movies.
Hoosiers too.
What was it? It was Mooseport. Welcome to Mooseport was his last movie.
Yeah, sure. So they probably saved World Ten Bombs because they don't want
Welcome to Mooseport was
Gene
Hackman's last movie.
One of the two of them were.
Welcome to Mooseport.
You know where he lives now, in New Mexico. He's a book writer. He's got like 5 books out.
Yeah.
All like murder mystery.
I saw an image of him at like a book signing.
He's kind of let himself go, but I mean, he is 80, y'all.
Yeah.
He's probably, you know, doing his due.
On his way out.
Doing his due.
And then,
that means.
My top pick is a film by David Fincher.
Ooh.
And it's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It's one of his better films, but it's definitely underrated.
It's a good Blu-ray.
And it's a great Blu-ray because it sort of goes into the whole process, how they aged and de-aged Brad Pitt. And I enjoyed all. I enjoy all the behind-the-scenes stuff for sure.
It's a good list.
So, yeah.
I like all those. I think I have all those.
You probably do.
All right. Gwen?
Okay. Well,
do it.
Here's a funny story about Gwen Reyes. I don't tend to watch a lot of movies more than once because I don't. And it's...
Minus Salem.
Yeah, Salem should be... Salem's Criterion just came out, too.
Absolutely.
But I do appreciate the Criterion films because they are very beautiful and they got me through college. And so I appreciate all that they've done for the academia level of filmmaking and all that good stuff. So I'm going to pick some ridiculous picks. I also had Royal Tenenbaums on mine because that's a really, really great collection, and that's the version of Royal Tenenbaums that I do own. I do own a few movies.
Thank God.
I own Royal Tenenbaums and all the versions of Lady and the Tramp.
Which is not on Criterion.
None of them. Yeah, I do own the sequels.
Oh.
None of them are on Criterion, and it is very sad. But along with Royal Tenenbaums, I also picked the... I think it's newly released, The Grey Gardens documentary, the Marcelles Brothers documentary. That is, I've been coveting it for a long time, so I fucking love that.
I love their house, though. I mean, I know it's kind of a sad story, but that home is...
beautiful. And they were able to...
Grey Gardens is quite lovely.
After they sold it, the new owners were able to completely renovate it instead of, like, tearing it down like they thought they were going to have to do. But I always tell my mom that we have to be careful about, like, the house not caving in on us, or we're going to turn into the Beale family members, mom and daughter, and I'll be little Edie wearing a tunic on my head. It's the most fashionable idea of the day. And then my other pick is Fat Girl.
That's a great movie.
I've always wanted to see that one.
It's a very disturbing film. It does not leave you with any good feelings.
Is there rape in it?
The rape in it is horrific.
Most Criterion Collection
has
rape in
it. And it has butt rape, and it has rape, and it has like regular rape.
What's the difference?
Standard rape.
There's no rape.
So those are my three.
It's all rape to me.
They're all very pretty. They all have very pretty covers. They all have like these very interesting pastel-y covers.
Yeah, no,
they all look like world is looking through an Instagram filter.
Yeah.
So it's.
Gives them uniqueness.
Yeah, they all.
So those are yours?
Those are mine.
Excellent, excellent. I like those. Adam or Gotti, which one wants to go first?
I'll go.
Gotti, Bugatti.
So, I scratched off the Fallen because it was also on my list, so, but I have another replacement for it.
What?
Where are we? I've got two honorable mentions because I think Criterion does two good things. One, it finds mainly foreign films that we just can't see. And it puts them, like, in older ones as well. I mean, obviously, like, Kurosawa is one of their favorites. They've damn near done everything he's ever done. And then it also showcases directors' works before, like the Christopher Nolan, The Following. But I love two Texas ones that are represented as my honorable mentions. I've got two. Mainly because he's a Richardson cat and he's a badass MF-er of a filmmaker. But George Washington by David Gordon Green is a very haunting film to
watch.
That's
a recent one, too.
And it is a recent one. And it's... It showcases Criterion isn't just looking for big European names. Like, it looks for all the filmmakers out there, and it finds really good, you know, material to add on to the collection.
Yeah.
So, George Washington's one of my favorites. The other one is, Linklater has two, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. Days of Confused and Slacker. And the first time I saw Slacker was because of a Criterion Collection DVD at a friend's house, and... I love Days and Confused more, but what Slacker did for the independent film, especially here in Texas, is there's no question who the godfather is down here. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. And the fact that he's having a kind of a resurrection with closing out the trilogy and now this new movie that everyone seems to really love, it's nice to see Linklater kind of stepping back. Because Bernie blew me away.
Yeah.
When he came out with that, it was like he's enjoying himself as a filmmaker, and that's something cool. My top three, to kind of keep with the theme of great directors, kind of first films, Guillermo del Toro's The Devil's Backbone.
Such a good movie.
It's not his first, actually. I think he does have one.
Kronos is actually on the Criterion, and that's his...
But I love Backbone a little bit better than Kronos, just because, A, it's children, and we all know that, you know, you don't work with children, and that seems like a rowdy-ass bunch of children in the middle of a desert in a freaking, like... run-down castle with some crazy-ass killers. Like, that could not have been an easy set to deal with. And to get kids to do that type of stuff, I mean, it's pretty tough. So that's number three. Number two, going along with the Maisel brothers, who are easily some of the best documentary work has ever been done by them, or maybe Errol Morris. Those are, like, the two big guys, or groups.
Errol didn't have any in here.
None. And it is sort of, I think, on him, though. I think he's pretty protective of his material.
Like the Beatles.
Yeah. Seriously, I think it's that type of thing. But the Maisel Brothers' Give Me Shelter is still one of my favorite music documentaries. I think it's the blueprint for everyone now. How to do something kick-ass. Mm-hmm. And it is probably the best Rolling Stones to go on that level, because they've done a lot since.
Yeah, there's been like 20 Rolling Stones documentaries.
It's still the best damn
one. I think it still has
one
of the most haunting introductions of a film ever.
Yeah.
When you see them watching the video back, and then you get to go backwards and see what actually happened. Oh, such an amazing moment.
And it captures a moment in time that was huge in 69, that was just musical revolution. Things changed after that. Number one, it's a film I've watched the most of all my Criterion. And I don't know why. It's a simple story. It's definitely not his greatest work, but I just love the damn movie. Maybe because it's about horse racing and betting and money.
Seen it, right?
No. Kubrick's The Killing.
Yeah.
Still gets me every time, this simple
hot
twist in it, but I love...
I was so excited when they announced that.
It shows his meticulous nature without his quirkiness. It's like, this is an intelligent filmmaker.
It was before Lolita.
Yeah, I think it's technically his first.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one with the cool off tape of the car driving off? Yeah.
They actually have his first film on the...
Fear and Desire?
Oh, that's... Well, that was his student film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No. Paths of Glory.
No.
Paths of Glory came after.
It might be Fear and Desire.
Fear and Desire, I think, because that's...
Yeah.
But I just... The Killing, for some reason, of his movies, I think it's... There's something magical about it because it's not surreal.
Yeah.
It's not outside of the scope.
How's the symmetry in it? Because I know that's a big thing that they keep talking about now. Is like Stanley Kubrick sort of started this whole symmetry thing that Wes Anderson's... Like, it's crazy. Like,
you see his beat, but you don't see his mind in it.
That didn't come until I was...
They said there was a lot in 2001, which was...
Well, that's 68. That was way later. So, like, Lolita... It was basically Dr. Strangelove from then. Lolita didn't have a lot of it.
Symmetry of...
Dr. Strangelove had some of it, and then you get into, like, Barry Lyndon, you get into... It's from that on.
Well, then the mask from The Killing is also what inspired the mask in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, The Dark Knight, the Joker.
So, just... It's if you haven't seen it, I think it's probably...
Yeah,
it could be. It's the best, most recent Criterion release. I'll say that much.
All right, good list. Good list. I like that Kubrick made number one. So I like Kubrick. All right.
We didn't do him props in our
Adam
brackets.
I know you have a lot of Criterion picks.
I do.
Narrow it down.
I pick all the Criterion.
Every Criterion else.
My bed is made of Criterion cases.
A couple of runners up. I guess Five Easy Pieces on Criterion with Jack Nicholson. It's such a great. Like a movie that not a lot of people have seen, and like his whole bit with the chicken salad in the restaurant.
Play between your legs.
Yeah,
I watched something the other day that repeated that. Alec Baldwin on Coffee with Comedians with Jerry Seinfeld did that exact same bit. I
love that scene.
It's one of the best.
Yeah,
you can go do that scene.
Yeah,
ever done.
Well, that's one of my runners up. And then also 12 Angry Men, which is such a good.
Oh, Sidney.
By Sidney Lumet. Yes. You know, Henry Fonda is such a great actor, and he was great as the.
All of them are fucking good.
Well, yeah.
That whole. It's the most tense fucking sit down movie.
It's been 30 days, or 30 weeks. We can let go of our first bracket.
It's been 30 days.
Whatever.
Then I have
13 going up 30.
Then I have, I guess, Harold Lloyd's Safety Last, which was finally released on Blu-ray through Criterion, and it's such a great movie because he does all those like stunts himself. So when you see him hanging off of the giant clock tower, he's hanging off
the giant clock tower.
Nope, not interested.
Not interested at all.
Sounds horrifying.
Yeah, and all these comedians back then did these really physical stunts, for their craft. And then going on to my top three, Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa is number three. It's the Criterion release of it's such.
Which one? Seven Samurai?
Seven Samurai. Yeah, there's so many extra features on there, it's ridiculous. And
it looks fucking great.
It looks amazing. Yeah, black and white.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Samurai 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Okay.
Which, those aren't bad.
But I like the Criterion's process, the taking a film and meticulously, like, doing it, remaking it and making it better.
Yeah.
Well, shot by shot and actually upgrading it to, like, 4K or taking it and restoring it.
Oh, yeah.
Then number two for me is Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times. It's such
great
a great
one.
Movie.
That's a great one.
Yeah, I guess there were some really good versions of his movies before Criterion, but Criterion definitely added its own.
Yeah, there's several Chaplin movies out now. And
yeah.
Is your number one Cassavetes five film set?
No, but
No. All right.
I think it'd be so cool to work for Criterion and just imagine, like, walk into their office and you just see people like, well, the aspect ratio is just not where it needs to be.
We got the aspect ratio to 0.178. It was 0.176.
I mean, just look at this moment right
here. It's not true, Morphic, but
there is a difference. I look at that when I look at the range.
There is a huge difference.
Well, we have Beautiful Frames.
Oh, Grand Beautiful
Frames. That back.
Yeah, it's
they
awesome.
Do several
they do
the
three. They do three different ones. I noticed that.
Yeah, they use three of them.
I thought it was just two, but they did three. I was like, oh, it's over.
They did that in the new Wizard of Oz, too, if you do.
Yeah,
Right, moving on.
And then my number one is like a most like one of the more recent releases. It's a Mad World. It's such a great film. And on the actual disc, they have three different versions of it. So they even have like a 206-minute version, which is ridiculous. It's like one of the longest
Saturday.
Yeah,
2,100
There's like so many comedians in this movie. It's just ridiculous. You have like Three Stooges making cameos, Buster Keaton, Spencer Tracy's last movie. You know, Wayne Kramer before this had made no comedies whatsoever. So it was just a big shock.
And it's one reason why remakes suck balls.
Well, there were, yeah, there were two. There's two remakes.
Both of them suck.
Rat Race, and then there's also one that was kind of like made for TV called Million Dollar Murder Mystery, which I actually find interesting to watch. But yeah, it's funny. You should go watch it if you haven't seen that one. It's about the London Bridge being transposed to like Arizona, where they're hiding money, and there's like a hot air balloon, like all sorts of cars, and like in a boat that is in this race. So it's hilarious. But yeah, but It's a Mad Mad World has, you know,
is that Burt Reynolds or is that a different one?
That is not Burt Reynolds. Okay. Has a whole bunch of comedians.
Dean Martin and yeah,
just trying to find
Spencer Tracy
some money. Yeah. Tracy's golden in it. I recommend it to anyone, and that's my number one movie.
Those are good.
What about you, Brian? What do you got?
I have a few, too.
Salo.
Showa.
Salo 2.
Showa's got to be on there.
Showa's
sure,
on
I'm sure
there.
He likes all the, I think he's totally into all that Heaven Allows. Get a little Douglas Sirk in there.
Showa's definitely on there. We'll start with that. Showa's on there. 9.5-hour Holocaust documentary.
Oh, I forgot one. That's fine.
It is.
What was it?
Island of Lost Souls.
That's a, that came out a year or two ago.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Show is by far the longest Criterion release, right?
No.
That isn't a set. Like, right?
Nine, I don't know. It is like one long movie. It is 9.5 hours.
Yeah.
Plus, on in the Criterion, there's 3 feature-length extras. So this is just a lot of Holocaust.
We got a lot of Holocaust right here for you.
So, if you want an excellent day,
watch that, and then watch The Great Dictator.
Yes,
and Schindler's List.
And Schindler's List.
And
the show is great. It's just like it needs a category of its own.
Is that your honorable mention?
That's an honorable mention.
A honorable mention.
A honorable mention. My other honorable mention is a movie called House. It's a Japanese horror film that is all sorts of fucked up.
That is ridiculous.
It's really funny. My cousin Josh and I have a tradition where we watch that before Thanksgiving. It's always good.
Do you want to go buy a house cat after that movie?
Yes, I do. But it's just like, it's really weird. It's not creepy. Oh, it's definitely creepy, but it's just like,
what to say?
Japanese creepy. There's blood, ghosts, and evil cats in it.
Fucking cats, man.
Fucking cats.
Evil cats.
They're all evil. It's just describing a cat.
And my two other runner-ups are The Third Man, which I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies, The Third Man.
Do you have 5
I love The Third Man by Carol Reed. Yeah, that score is pretty awesome.
It is good. And then the Beastie Boys anthology, just because I love
Top 3.
For a top 3, really?
The Beastie Boys. So, moving on to the top.
Moving on to the top 12.
You told me to realize. You just go for what all the world.
In my top 10 list today, we have.
My number 3 is Spinal Tap, which has never been released on Blu-ray, but it's on DVD. It's got great commentary with
awesome
characters.
Commentary.
Yeah, awesome, good
awesome commentary.
Turn up to 11.
How's the second screen experience?
It's not available for the DVD, only the Laserdisc. Okay.
Is that it? That's it?
So if you can find Spinal Tap on Criterion, I'd suggest so, but you'll probably be paying close to anywhere between $80 and $150 for it because it's out of print. I'm hoping at one point they'll re-release it on Blu-ray. My number 2 is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Right.
I was watching that yesterday.
I love that movie, and that is a great, great thing. And The Menu actually has Ralph Steadman doing his artwork for the DVD.
I bet that was a lot more interesting than his documentary.
Oh,
I like the documentary. I know you don't like Johnny Depp.
Someone's
like
throwing the gauntlet out.
Johnny Depp is great in this film.
Yeah, he's great in the film. He was horrible in the documentary.
Well, the documentary's weird.
And my number 1 Criterion is just, I think this is like my one movie I would bring on a deserted island with me forever, is Topsy Turvy.
I know that's what you're going to say.
Topsy Turvy.
Which is a weird choice for you. But
I love that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen Topsy Turvy all the way through.
Really?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
Now that I think
so
about it.
Good.
You look like a young Jim Rodent, so hey.
Thank you. Topsy Turvy is about the playwrights, Gilbert and
Gottfried.
Yeah, no, it's not Gilbert.
Gilbert Gottfried?
Sondheim or Sondheim?
No, it's not Sondheim. Gilbert, I can't remember. But it's so good.
Gilbert.
Hammerstein?
Gilbert.
No.
Sullivan.
Gilbert and Sullivan, yes.
There you go.
Where's mom, Gilbert?
It's like a guy I knew all along. He was waiting to see what happened.
It,
Hammerstein.
Aaron Sullivan.
If you have a chance, like, let me just pull out my best knowledge of theater for you.
Is that everyone's like,
And it's just about that time. The cast is amazing, and it's just, it's hilarious all the way.
But the costumes in it is pretty.
And that scene where they're using the telephone, are you there?
Exquisite selections, Brian.
Their cyber mustaches are the best.
Yeah, it's so good. Exquisite.
The Kinect. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can we all agree that RoboCop is definitely on Criterion?
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's amazing.
X-rated version.
Yeah, the full.
Yeah, the full
bloody version. Killing version.
X-rated.
Showcase of Dallas and such.
It was X-rated.
And that's an out of print one too.
Yeah,
I wish they released
City Hall.
I think we should all go around and say one movie that we'd like to see as a Criterion that hasn't been made one.
Okay, you start.
Well, I don't know what y'all.
Okay.
Man, what would I like to see?
Mean Girls.
Yes, I would like to see a Mean Girls beautifully restored.
It would be cool to have Tina Fey do a commentary like out of this world Criterion
and get like Lindsay Lohan back. Yeah, I'm going with Mean Girls. That sounds great. That wasn't my pick, but I'm totally doing it. Or Old School.
I picked it for you.
It's a good
about you.
I would say Stand By Me.
Stand By Me?
Yeah. I'd love to see some behind the scenes footage from that. How they shot the leash scene. And also the pie eating contest.
Oh, that's so...
That would be cool.
Oh, purple everywhere. Oh.
My gut tells me to say Good Burger, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go with Army of Darkness because I know there's been tons of releases, but I want a Criterion Army of Darkness in the worst way. With all new commentary. With everybody. That's what I want. Dottie.
God, this is tough.
I had 5 more answers, but...
What a dick. Just because I love Tom McCarthy, I'll say The Station Agent.
Nice.
I think that would be a really interesting. Movie with your lead being a midget is.
Little person.
I'm sorry, Peter. Jesus. Is so ballsy.
He's the only one.
Well, I'm sure so many studios were like, if you could just make him a regular person.
Yeah,
and that defeats the whole point of his movie.
And
yeah, I would say the Station Agent.
The kid in Seinfeld.
That's good.
The dude in Seinfeld.
Andrew?
Mickey.
One movie?
Took my room inside. I'd probably do a Harold Ramis selection, probably Stripes or Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
That would be fun, though.
Or Network. Now I really want to do Network.
Orange County?
Guys, I like better movies than Orange County.
Beautiful creatures, please. I want a criteria to that.
All right, so that's our criteria test.
What the fuck could be inept about? Okay, let's
move on. I want a storyboard for the next 3 movies that would have been made.
Please.
That's our criterion list. Please let us know what your favorite criterions are. Visit us on our Facebook page. Listen to us. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher?
Yeah. Stitcher.
Thank you.
Do it.